When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Shavin Fitzy filling in for the Greg Hill Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Merry Christmas Eve to all of you who celebrate. Ooh,
who's this, by the way, on the cover rejoin?
This is Haverhill's own Gary Hoey.
Okay.
Wait, this is the great Gary Hoey?
Yes, it is.
Oh, he's a local legend.
He is a local legend. Love that guy.
This is tremendous.
I only know Hoey's Pizza in Randolph, currently known as the Ambets, I believe.
So. No relation.
No relation?
No.
They make one of the best bar pizzas you'll find. I'll be completely honest.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. The Ambets in Randolph has one of the best bar pizzas. Like, it competes with Linwood's. It's that good.
I had Linwood yesterday.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely. Well, actually, Sunday
God
for the game.
Almighty. It's yeah. So good.
Amazing.
Bar pizza is the best.
I got to tell you, I had some Detroit style pizza this weekend.
Oh,
that gave some of my favorite bar pizzas. We're talking Johnny Cono's, Alumni, Braintree Brewhouse, Cape Cod Cafe. A run for their money.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Is Detroit pizza like that real doughy, saucy stuff?
No. So no? Detroit style pizza is like if a bar pizza and a Sicilian pizza made sweet, sweet love and produced a little sweet pizza. Jackson, you're on your third outfit of the day. What is going on in there?
Oh, yeah. No, I run hot a lot of times, but then I get sweaty and then I get cold. So I have to, you know, up and down with the sweatshirt.
Anyone who's watching, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, you can see I'm in my dumpy little home studio with my Santa hat on. Shime is in the one chair manning the USS Enterprise. And there's Jackson, who earlier was wearing a ski cap that made him look like a baby's bottle.
that's very, very accurate.
And now you're like, you're in a sweatshirt, you're in a golf shirt, you're in a full track suit, you're in an astronaut's outfit. You're all over the place. I love it, kid.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, so Detroit pizza, it's rectangular, uh-huh, and it's got laced crispy edges, so you get like that satisfying burnt cheesy
but
crunch.
But it's like deep dishes,
Mitch has got
right?
you covered. Mitch put it up on Twitch.
There, nice job,
well
Mitch.
Well done,
so, but
Mitch.
It's light, puffy, and airy, but you get like the quality toppings, and that you see those laced edges right there on that corner slice?
That's the stuff.
The flipping best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had pizza one this weekend that was just off the charts.
Are you like what is your favorite kind of pizza? Is it just like New Haven pizza, a New York
no.
slice?
What's no, your I favorite? Love Frank Pepe's. I do love the a-pizz, as they like to
a-pizz
call it. If I had a death row pie, it would be a bar pizza.
Yeah, I just
100%
grew up with it. I'll die with it. It's the best.
A-pizz.
Do you have like a couple favorite bar pizzas in particular?
Yep, as the aforementioned,
like a Mount Rushmore, maybe
Braintree Brewhouse, Cape Cod Cafe, Johnny Cono's, Alumni, Linwood. Yeah, they're all like, I can't pick an absolute one singular favorite because I appreciate the style so much.
Same.
We can't forget our guys down at the Trading Post down the Cape.
Who else is another great one?
Yeah.
Too? Like, I love Emma's from Bridgewater.
Okay.
So my favorite grocery store to hit up when I'm on vacation, of course, I'm a regular Shaw's in Star Market because I like to perfect the art of fresh on a daily basis.
Well done.
However, whenever I'm zipping down the Cape and I got to pick up some groceries, for the old Mid-Cape Stevens family Fitzy getaway.
Mm-hmm.
I stop at the Market Basket right over in Sagamore. It's right next to the Space Force camp. There's literally a Space Force base right next to the Market Basket in Sagamore.
Mm-hmm.
And they have phenomenal steak tips, and they sell Emma's frozen bar pizzas, $4.99 a pop.
Damn. Yeah, you could get like the Cape Cod cafe bar pizzas in like every grocery store on the planet now, I feel like. Every time I even go, there's this little Italian market near me that I pop into quite a bit, and even they have like the Cape Cod pizza. They're everywhere. And I would be remiss if I didn't also mention Poopsies, because I love me some Poopsies.
There's a local, I won't call it chain, but like there's a couple of these establishments, I believe. I've eaten at them before with some friends brought me there. My buddy Mike, who lives down in Taunton, he's a regular listener. He was just texting me some local bar pizza recommendations. He says the Tin Ray down in Brockton.
Okay.
Also, have you been to a Barrett's Ale House before?
Yeah, of course I've been to Barrett's. I got a story to tell you at another time. But yes, I am very familiar with Barrett's. Mm. My mother used to work for them.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
Barrett's makes a high quality pie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because Barrett's also, I don't know if you're familiar. I think they're technically related families, but different owners. Like the Barretts over in like West Bridgewater and stuff. It's the same family who owned the Abington Ale House.
Mm-hmm. I so love the Abington Ale House and all the different iterations and names that it's had over the many decades. Tremendous establishment.
Yes. They had the what do they have? 100 bottles of beer on the wall. They had a little list.
Yes,
that you had.
Jackson,
if you finished all you got a plaque on the wall if you finished all 100 beers.
Damn, that part of it I didn't know, but...
Oh, nice. Abington Ale House, by the way, no joke, one of the top five, like, Bavarian beer house, like, large pretzels you'll ever get.
Where the first place I ever consumed a legal beverage, alcoholic beverage, was at the Abington Ale House.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the places I had my first, too, as well.
I grew up around the corner, like I said, my mother used to, like, work for them and, like, do the books for them, so...
Shime, if we were all geographically convenient and had just enough time, like, let's say we were after the show. It was like, oh, I'm going down the plaza too. I got to get two or three things for like my girlfriend and my wife's stocking.
Yep.
It would be my treat to zip us over to the Braintree Brewhouse diagonally across from my alma mater, Braintree High School, right near where there used to be a ground round. R.I.P. My preteen sweats when it was pay what you weigh night.
Oh yeah,
and the Braintree Brewhouse, their pie. Top shelf. That's where our old pal Dakota from Braintree goes on a regular. He even has a pizza named after him down there.
Yeah, fun fact, Fitzy, I actually went to a Braintree High prom one time.
You did?
I did.
Did you go with Olivia Culpa?
No, I did not. I won't. I won't pull an Eamon.
The hell was she doing at my high school?
I won't lie to you like Eamon. No. I did go to Braintree High prom. I was a sophomore. She was a senior. I was hitting above my weight class at the time.
Oh, you guys, man. I've never heard of this name in my life.
I was a sophomore. She was a senior. That was my favorite episode of Maury Povich.
Yeah, I had to flex a little bit. All right, let's get back to the news and back to things, stories people might actually care about. Who knows? Well, Fitzy, did you hear about this? Around 1 million U.S. taxpayers will automatically receive a one-off payment of up to $1,400 from the IRS in the coming weeks.
Wait, excuse me?
Yes, these special payments.
That is very good news.
These special payments will be either directly deposited into eligible recipients' bank accounts or sent as paper checks in the mail. A total of $2.4 billion will be sent by the IRS to taxpayers. And this is where the stipulation comes in. Who did not claim a recovery rebate credit on their 2021 tax returns. I don't even know how to look at this. I
have no idea if I did or not.
Nope, I have no clue. So it's going to be a surprise. If $1,400 appears in my bank account in a couple weeks, I'm going to be stunned, and it's going to be great. I'm excited. If not, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
How do you find out if you get it? You don't know?
So you can look at your tax return. So there's three ways you can find out. You can check your tax return from 2021.
There should be an
item, like a line item related to the recovery rebate credit. You can use the IRS online account. You got to log into like the IRS online and you can view your tax records, or you can contact the IRS. Otherwise, it's a total surprise.
I would rather just go with the total surprise.
Same. Because I tried to access my 2021 tax return because I just used like TurboTax. And so I was like, oh, it'll probably be there. Popped it up. Couldn't find it. I'm like, son of a gun.
Yeah. You know, top five scams in the world. When you're supposed to pay quarterly estimates and you didn't know that you had to pay quarterly estimates, and then you get a bill the following May for like all the interest you owe on your quarterly estimate taxes. Absolute hogwash.
I've never gotten that before.
You never have? Oh, no. Well, I do a lot of 1099. I used to do more 1099 work than I do now, and just would get absolutely hosed on all of it. Like, and you're just like, okay, as soon as the check comes in, I'll pay my share of the taxes. Nope, sorry, you should have paid it beforehand.
Yeah, people should not be responsible for paying their own taxes on time like that. That should be taken care of.
Thank
like,
you very
should
much,
be
Jackson.
Taken out.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it
why,
should be made
should
a lot
be a responsible
easier.
Tax
yeah, the process.
Prompt.
Yeah, you have to save like a 25% of whatever you're making just to pay tax. That's silly.
Yeah, just take it out.
And
just,
don't, make it easy on me. Stop making things more difficult for the American public. I pay you. I pay these taxes mm-hmm. to you to make it easier on me. That's the whole point.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, Fitzy, a state trooper is facing charges after shoplifting mostly golf balls from Target.
Golf balls? They're not even that expensive.
They can be, Fitzy. You want the nice ones. I mean, Pro V1s, they run you.
Yeah,
they
box of TaylorMade is like 50 Fair bucks point. Now.
Yeah. A Massachusetts state trooper is suspended from duty and facing criminal charges after allegedly stealing from several area Target stores, including a location in Millbury. The majority of the items stolen were packs of golf balls. Zachariah Kent was caught on video several times stealing more than $800 worth of items between January and September of this year. Court documents allege. Prosecutors say he only scanned some of the items in his cart and would skip scanning the others. We can hear a reaction from one Millbury resident, Maureen Smith, on WHDH.
Why? Just why? What does he need that many golf balls for? That's crazy. No, feel safe at all. They should be face the same laws that we have to face, for sure.
Like, this guy's a state trooper, right? Don't they make a ton of money on, like, details and overtime? Like, why does he need to steal golf balls?
You know, maybe he's got a wicked slice. He puts too many in the drink in Marshfield and just...
Yeah, but then instead of grabbing a box of Pro V1s, grab, like, the Nitros. They're fine. They work. You can go to Walmart. Trust me. I've done this plenty of times. You can pay, like, $15 for a pack of 30.
Yeah, you can also just go to the pro shop and just get the dollar balls that have been fished out of the lake. Yep. Chances are half of them were brand new when someone whistled them into the lake or the creek on the 7th.
That's the best thing, too. When, you know, as an average golfer, you play with other average or below average golfers, and they'll, like, hit a ball into the woods, and then they'll come out with, like, four, and it's like, hey, I'm plus three on the day. Good for me.
The George Wright Golf Course in Hyde Park, if you ever want to go for a stroll and want to come up, you know, with gold, just go in the woods there. There are hundreds and hundreds of golf balls, easily accessible, too.
Yeah, but you got to be careful, though. Like, when you see a bunch of golf balls in the woods or the rough, Jackson, you have to stop and think for a second, like, how come no one else has gone in there to get them? Because if you traipse in there a couple days later, you may be itching from ankle to elbow because you just waltz right into some hidden poison ivy.
Well, yeah, but you're going to just know what poison ivy looks like and be safe. Be careful.
Oh, well.
Or just not be allergic to it like me.
Thanks.
Hold on. Thanks so much,
Bill Nye, the science guy.
I'm getting ripped in the Twitch chat for saying nitros. Like, those are like the cheap golf ball. I don't understand why that's a bad thing. If you're broke but like to play golf, that's the perfect thing to go get, right?
They're good golf balls. I have some in my bag.
Yeah, somebody else says Chris plays Slozengers. Yes, I've played Slozengers multiple times in my life. Yeah, they have a cool Panther logo on the front.
Nice accompanying polos as well.
Yeah, like then again, the chat also says I'm short. No, I just like to slouch in my chair. That's why it makes me look short. But I don't have great posture when I'm sitting in a chair.
So, Shyam, if you were able to, like, let's say you either had, like, an influencer deal or just limitless funds.
Okay.
What would be your go-to, like, head-to-toe apparel?
Oh. I would have like a different pair of Jordans every day on my feet. That I can guarantee you. I already have way too many, not way too many. I don't have enough sneakers, but I have a bunch of sneakers. And I would just acquire more and more on the resale market because that would be number one. Pants wise, oh man.
Yeah, like if there was a brand, like for me, it's easy and I'm not fishing for their money. They're probably definitely not listening.
Yeah, I love.
I'm a Roan guy.
A Roan guy. Interesting. Okay. I don't think I'm familiar with Roan.
I can't afford it, so what I do...
Gotcha, that tracks.
I'll fess up to it right now. I'm not even a Poshmark
guy.
Let's
hear it.
I'll just go to the store, try it on, see how it looks. Then I'll go to eBay, find someone who owned it and didn't like it, and is selling it for like a third of what they paid
for it.
Get it, bring it home, launder it brand new. Hey, nice clothes, Fitzy. Where'd you get those? Ah, you know, just
found them.
I know a guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, any jeans that have the flex in them, I love them. I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm also
Shout out to whoever decided to make jeans instead of 100% cotton, like 97% cotton, 3% like nylon or elastane, whatever.
Yeah, just stretchy. It's very nice.
Also, then again, I could also go every day of my life without wearing jeans because I love like khakis and chinos. And especially now that they make those in jogger form, like what I'm wearing right now, like they're like, they're jogger khaki. It's the best thing on the planet. Love them.
Yeah, you got a pair of Rusher on big chinos, guys. Is that what those are?
What?
Is that what chinos? Is that what?
Chinos are like khakis.
Oh, I thought they were the ones that are tapered at the end.
No. I'm not talking about like sweatpants. I'm talking about tapered at the end means it's jogger. I'm talking about like khakis. Like the chinos, the khaki, like that's, I live in those. I love those. They're super comfortable. They're just better than denim. They don't have any of the, like when you get a new pair of jeans, especially like a darker blue, like sometimes the dye is still on the end. And like if you scratch your leg or something, you get like blue dye on your fingers. It's gross. I hate it. And it's just way more comfortable than denim. So
I've had a bit of a cap because there are so many different premium kinds of clothing now, especially online and whatnot. I like Marine Layer a lot, and great stuff from them. And I wear their khakis a lot. I tell people, like, these are my Harbaughs. I just wear them all the time because that's all that guy wears.
Yes.
They're so freaking comfortable.
They're comfortable.
I can't wear joggers because...
Why?
When you're,
you have long legs. It's, like, perfect for you. They're, like, built for you.
Yeah, but the problem is when you have a Florida avocado-shaped ass, they don't really look great on you.
Fair. I have a dump truck ass, so everything looks good on my tuchus. I'm trying to think what else would I wear as like my top half. I don't even know. I like, cause I like a lot of different brands. So like it also like depends on the product. Like if it's a t-shirt, I don't know.
Like I love the pullover, like t-shirt style hoodies.
Yep.
Not just a full blown oversized hoodie or like a zip up one I'm wearing right now. Cause I'm going to go for a jog. After
yeah. I
the
like
show.
The light hoodies. Like I'm wearing a really light hoodie right now.
Yes.
Underneath the half vest.
I don't know what happened, but a couple years ago, like, I'll be honest, like, it's not like I'm auditioning for the Manning cast, but I fell into quarter zips. I don't know why.
Oh, I'm a huge quarter zip guy. I love quarter zips. A good Nike quarter zip rips.
See, that's what I'm saying.
So comfy.
You mentioned him earlier, Dakota, his swing juice stuff is
swing
really
juice stuff is super comfy.
Very
he
true.
Makes a great pullover golf attire and quarter zips as well. I expect, Dakota, we just gave you two shouts in the same show. I expect a box before New Year's Eve.
I don't know. He keeps telling me I can hit him up for stuff, but I keep forgetting to do that.
Oh, no. He's great about it.
I know. Yeah. He's awesome. Love him.
Like last summer, I went to a golf reunion in Wisconsin with a family from the Midwest, New York, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. Goal, pack, goal. You know, Liney's and Curds the whole time. He sent me a box of... like 10 golf Wisconsin t-shirts, so the whole family wore the same thing. It was great.
So total side note, just because you brought up Wisconsin. I think one of the greatest...
This entire hour has been a side note, and I love it.
One of the greatest achievements in mankind was by T-Pain when he was able to rhyme mansion with Wisconsin.
Well, didn't expect that.
Yeah, you're welcome. 617-779-7937. Our lines are loaded right now. I see all of you there. I want to get to every single one of you. We're going to hit trending real quick. We're going to come back, and we are going to rip through every one of these phone calls. So Dan, Matt, Chris, Steve, go nowhere. We're going to get to all of you when we come back here. But right now, let's get you caught up on what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
I totally just X'd out my trending because I am a rookie at this, but it's okay. Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Your Boston Bruins got a win last night over the Washington Capitals 4-1. They are off now till Friday where they'll take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Celtics fell to the Magic 108-104 last night in Orlando. Jaylen Brown had 35 points in the loss for the Seas. No Jason Tatum in the game, though. They're kind of just, you know, motoring through. As Fitzy pointed out, last year at Christmas, they were 22-6. This year, 22-7. Just about the same for your Boston Celtics.
I do want to ask, though, Shime, because I know we're not going to talk very much basketball the remainder of the show. Probably a little more football, if anything. Is it okay? Like, I've found that because of the success the Celtics had in winning the championship last year, and how good we think this team ultimately is or can be this year. I have found a sensitivity in just even ever, not complaining, but analyzing anything about the Celtics. People yell at you like, oh, what, the banner last June wasn't good enough for you? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, should teams or organizations be completely untouchable or beyond reproach because of a championship? Like, are you not allowed to criticize them at all?
No, I think that's like the one outlier fan base in this entire city is the Celtics, in that like any other fan base would still be totally okay if you're critical of the team, even though they just came off a title. But because the Celtics, the green teamers, live in outer space sometimes, they're like, hey, they just won a title. Like, they can do whatever they want. But like, I think
diplomatic immunity.
I think it's absolutely appropriate that we're critical of the team if they're doing something poorly. Like, if they're playing poorly or they performed in a game that I didn't particularly like, yeah, I'm gonna say so, because that's kind of, you know, it's part of the job.
Well, good. My note to them is, please play more like you did the other night in Chicago when you took it to the paint and didn't just live and die behind the 3-point stripe all night.
Yeah, let
Jason
Tatum.
That's the kind of team that will rattle the cages of other NBA fan bases on a regular basis.
Let Jason Tatum have a 40-point triple-double, please, every single night. Monday Night Football, we saw the Green Bay Packers shut out the Saints 34-0. They locked up their spot in the playoffs, a very competitive NFC North. The Texans claimed Deontay Johnson off of waivers, and the Red Sox signed Walker Buehler yesterday to a one-year deal worth $21 million. Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. They're the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. More Fitzy and Shine filling in for the Greg Hill Show coming.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop. Jackson, this is much more jazzy than you would normally go. I like it.
This is a 15 request.
Oh.
This was my old man's favorite Christmas album.
Really?
Yep. Who's? Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's Shyman Fitzy filling in for the Greg Hill Show, an ode to Fitzy's father there with that rejoin. Well, who is it? The Tijuana Brass, you said?
Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass Christmas Herb album Alpert. From 1967, I want to say.
That's a vibe I recognize. Like, resonate with. That's the word I was looking for. Resonate with. Like, that jazzy kind of low-key vibe. I love that stuff.
The best.
It feels good.
Absolute best.
All right. I said it before the break. Let's get right to it. Callers everywhere. We'll start with Dan in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dan.
It's on my Spotify list, Dan. I mean, Fitz.
Nice, Danny.
Happy holidays to you guys.
Happy holidays.
Look, I don't get ahead of something. I am rooting like Christ tomorrow for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why?
Amen.
Because all we're left for now is draft position, and you are one win away from seeing Mitch Trubisky at the end of the season, which will be the topic du jour for the Patriots to tank, because at number two right now in a two-quarterback draft, you're in a great position. There are seven other teams besides you, not including the Giants, that either have three or four wins. And you could tumble down the leaderboard to, like, even six or seven in a worst-case scenario. I don't want to see that. I don't need a meaningless momentum-winning, you know, win at the end of the year to build to next year. They are screwed. You take yourself out of Travis Hunter sweepstakes for one if you want to go that route. Or to trade out in a two-quarterback draft, you're giving away basically a future number one pick where you could probably trade down from two to six or seven and pick up all that capital. So please, please, please do not face Mitch Trubisky at the end of the year, because we know it's going to happen when that happens, because they will sit everybody because they don't need it.
Appreciate the phone, guys.
Have a good holiday.
Appreciate
Merry Christmas,
Dan.
Danny. Good holidays to you.
He's right, and I was looking at Tankathon the other day. Like, it would be perfect if the draft position held up as currently constituted. It won't, but if it did, the Patriots would be picking number two after the Giants. So the Giants would, in my opinion, probably take Shedeur Sanders. They need a quarterback. They'll probably take Shedeur Sanders. If a team falls in love with Cam Ward, or, you know, if Jalen Milroe rises at training camp time or combine time, that's the word, combine time, and somebody falls in love with Cam Ward or Jalen Milroe or whoever and wants to come up, like, the Patriots are in the perfect position, because I would love to see Tennessee come up and you move back to four. It's like four to me is the perfect spot, because then quarterback comes off the board. Jacksonville's not taking a quarterback because they have Trevor Lawrence. They probably take Travis Hunter. I don't want Travis Hunter on this team. I don't even want the pick.
You're kidding.
No, I'm dead serious. I don't even want the pick to be thought about for people. I don't want it to even have the option, because they'll be duped into something stupid, I think.
Shyam has an irrational hate for Travis Hunter.
It's not an irrational hate. It's just like, I just don't think he's going to be a great NFL pro. I think he's a tremendous athlete. He seems like a cool dude. Seems awesome. Loved his Heisman speech. Happy for him. Great. Good job. I think the hype around him is way too much. It is part of the Dion hype machine.
Wow.
Personally.
For someone with almost 1,200 yards receiving, all those touchdowns and plus level cornerback play, you think there's too much hype around him?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a wide receiver in the NFL. I think he's going to be a corner, and he's going to be like a number two corner, and he might have a decent career, but he's not going to be anything special. I don't think he's good enough at either position. Like, he is not the best receiver in the draft. He's not the best corner in the draft. I don't want a guy that comes in, and the cool thing is he plays both ways. In the NFL, you can't do that. Like, it doesn't work. Like, it just doesn't. And so, yeah, I want nothing to do with Travis Hunter. And by being fourth, it takes him completely out of the perspective because Jacksonville will take him at three, and it leaves you in a spot where you can then take – you acquire draft picks from going from two to four, and you can then still take Tet McMillan or Kelvin Banks out of Texas. Those would be my top two guys right now. I love both of them.
Do you not think the Patriots would benefit from having the second overall pick, though? And if it is a two-quarterback draft and there's teams that are that hype on Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward – if somebody wants to trade up that desperately to get him, would you not want the Patriots to trade down a few spots and pick up extra draft capital?
Oh, yeah, no, that's exactly
what I'm saying. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if you finish the season number two overall, I want you to trade down to, like, 4, 5, 6. Like, that's where I want to be. I want you to trade down with Tennessee at 4 or Vegas at 6. Like, those, to me, are the perfect spots, I think, to be.
At 6 is exactly – they need a quarterback – so badly.
Yeah, and so does Tennessee.
Really not a quarterback rich draft. Like
Tennessee is dealing with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. And I actually think Brian Callahan might actually be like a decent coach the way he coaches that Tennessee team.
He won me over with that expletive laden speech last week.
And I saw his interaction with Ja'Marr Chase after the Cincinnati game, and like Chase loves him. And I was like, oh yeah. I didn't realize. I never knew that about
Burrow's
Callahan,
play caller for a couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. All right. Let's go to Chris in Brockton wants to talk about bar pizza. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up?
Good morning. Happy holidays.
Good. I grew up in Quincy. I lived in Brockton, and I sold my house. So I moved to East Longmeadow. And there's no pizza out here. But when I go back, Fitzy, I go to the next page out of Jackson Square, is it?
Yeah. How's their pie?
Beautiful, but you gotta try it. There's nothing really out here except for the Red Rose.
Yeah, it's like once you go east of Worcestershire, like bar pizza is just a faint memory. It's like, oh, that's a proper Massachusetts thing, not a eastern New York type of thing.
Yeah, I always tell people, anytime I've ever been asked, what's the difference between the North Shore of Massachusetts and the South Shore? Like, there's really no difference. It's just all Boston, right? I'm like, no.
There's not much.
The difference is North Shore has the North Shore beef. South Shore has the bar pie.
Correct.
That is the biggest difference in North Shore versus South Shore.
And the water's just a little colder. The real estate is just as expensive.
Yep.
You'll get architectural differences and whatnot, but it's the same people. But once you get into Berkshire County, it's like a strange, love me some Berkshires. I've grown to love Western Mass a ton over the past decade, but it's like its own fiefdom. It's like not quite Massachusetts. It's not quite New York State. It really is its own domain as well. Like it kind of belongs to New York, Mass, Vermont, and Connecticut. It's almost like international waters.
All right, Matt and Waltham, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? You're doing a great job today. I really like the show. I know you're running with a bit of a skeleton crew out there.
Appreciate it.
But first of all, let me just say the best pizza, hands down, is the Rhode Island bakery-style pizza served in little strips, no cheese, with just sauce. It's delicious. I'll die on that hill every day.
No cheese? Interesting.
No,
okay.
It's a big, it's like a great, it's like in strips, it's almost like a grandma pie. It is quite delicious.
I'm into the idea of strips, but the no cheese is throwing me off. But hey, man, all power to you.
But so what I wanted to talk to you about is the fact that, you know, I grew up, I'm 21, so I grew up watching Gerard Mayo in the prime of some of those great Pats defenses. You know, I remember when he won, I believe it was 2008 when he was drafted, he won Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think it
Correct.
Was unanimous or almost unanimous. I loved watching him as a kid. My first signed piece of sports memorabilia that I ever owned was a signed Gerard Mayo jersey. I still have it. It's framed up real nice. And it's real hard for me as someone who grew up loving him as a player. When they hired him, I was so excited. I wanted to love him as a head coach, and I did. That first week when they beat Cincinnati, my mm-hmm. God, I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And now with all the negativity that's around him, and it hurts to say, because I love him as a player, I want to love him as a coach, but right now he's just not doing it. And it's really disappointing for me, someone who grew up watching him play some of those great Pats defenses. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Matt. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
I see. Shime, that's that point I made a couple Sundays ago when I called in with you, Mego, and Arcand on the Football Sunday. The identity of this team continues to evade Gerard Mayo, ownership, and all the coordinators, even the players. They are the Matriots because the only identity this team has is Drake May. And we thought we got a feel for who they were going to be week one. When they started a barroom brawl with Cincinnati, and since he wasn't ready for that smoke that week, and they won the game. Jabril Peppers flexing at the end of the game. This is effing what we do. This is who we are. Loved it. It was so much better than, you know, take him to the hill. So much better than last year's You Lucky We Ass. And then at somewhere along the lines in that second week against Seattle, things changed and they just lost their identity. And then by the time the Jets put a whooping on them that Thursday night, the season was kind of already in free fall, like ball game.
Yeah, it's tough. I look at this Patriots team too, and I'm just like, I wish some things had gone just slightly differently. Like, I wish he had just been a little bit more aggressive. I wish Drake May didn't throw like a pick or two at the end of the games. The outlook on this season could be totally different for a lot of people if just like one or two things changed. I know Belichick said it, and we ripped him last year. Like, you know, couple things change and we're a much better football team. And I think that's the same thing here, right? Like, I think there's a couple moments that change in this season and the outlook for everyone is entirely different. You're not quite as upset with Gerard Mayo. There might be a little bit more inspiration coming into season two. You might have a little bit more faith in the organization, but unfortunately, like, it's just, I feel like the die never went their way.
Do you believe then if this team has the groundwork, if you will, the foundation is being laid for being a couple different things go their way type of team and we'll have a much better season next year, then do you believe it to be a personnel matter or a coaching and executive capacity matter? Like, which a change in which is going to tilt the tables in their favor next year more?
I think a coaching change, like a coaching philosophy change would tilt the tables just a little bit more. But I don't think the personnel is, that's not me saying the personnel is good. I think the personnel is bad, but I think the quarterback is good enough that you can win games if the rest of the team is well coached. Like, if the team had if Gerard Mayo, if it was Bill Belichick, right? All things being equal, and I hate making this comparison because Bill's one of the greatest of all time, and Gerard Mayo is a rookie coach in a tough situation.
I too want to live in a disclaimer-free Pats Nation, Chime.
But if it was Bill Belichick with exactly what we have, the defense would be better, there would be less penalties, and the quarterback is way better than anything you've had the last two seasons. And so, like, that alone to me was like, okay, you have so much going for you going forward. Now it's just like you add a couple pieces on the roster and you're cooking with gas. That's why, like, for me, I think it's more of a coaching thing than anything else.
Yeah, the sad part is that simulation does not exist.
No, it doesn't.
And what we have to look forward to is, do they draft well and spend the money well, or do they do that okay, but make wholesale coaching changes, or do they do a combination therein? Like, do you believe in your heart of hearts, as a Pats fan, as someone who has to talk in and traffic around all of this on a regular basis, do you believe this coaching staff comes back next year lump sum or slightly altered?
Very slightly altered is my guess. I think I have a feeling DeMarcus Covington may be like the scapegoat. Like, this is the change we're going to make, and he might be out of a job. And then you might see some, what's the word? Like assistants brought in, just like kind of like special assistants, almost like Ben McAdoo type people that have been around football a lot, and advisors maybe that just come in and assist, similar to what the Celtics did with Joe Mazzulla, right? They bring in the Sam Cassells and the Brendan Lees and all those guys.
And the Charles, like,
yeah,
that
Charles
helped
Lee,
Joe Mazzulla so much.
Exactly.
Last year.
I think that's what the Patriots should do if they really want to ride with Gerard Mayo as their head coach.
Okay. Do you think there's any chance this offseason, depending on where Mike Vrabel goes and who he brings with him?
Yep.
Like, let's say Vrabel takes, maybe not the Jets job, but he takes another job, right? Maybe, I don't know, it could be Cleveland, could be who, even though Stefanski is not the problem in Cleveland. Let's say Vrabel goes somewhere else, does not bring McDaniels. Do you think ownership, still, I won't say, you know, enamored of the pass, do they go to Mayo and say, like, look, you know, Van Pelt, we gave you Van Pelt, he was 12 of 12, he's done a nice job. But we really think Josh is in the area. He's interested in coaching again. Do you think that could happen?
I don't think it could happen. So Andy made me believe that there's a chance it could happen, in that, like, he made it seem like Alex Van Pelt is the kind of guy who would take a demotion. If that was the case, if Alex Van Pelt stayed on the on the staff, but was moved to like assistant offensive coach and quarterback coach.
Permanent May Whisperer.
He basically, yeah. And Josh McDaniels basically just came in to, you know, call the offensive plays. I guess that to me is more realistic than outright firing Van Pelt.
Yeah, I would not kick that out of bed for eating pizza crust.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in. We'll get to more of your calls here, talk more about the Patriots. But Fitzy and I also want to get to the unsung heroes of 2024. We'll do all that coming up. It's Fitzy and Shime filling in for the Greg Hill Show. It's the Greg Hill Show. Shime and Fitzy filling in on this beautiful Christmas Eve morning. Fitzy, you think we're going to get any snow today for Christmas?
Believe it or not, Shime, from my Southern New England WEEI studios, I have been awash in snowfall for the last several hours. So it's en route to the greater Boston
Jackson,
area.
Is it snowing outside?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is.
Oh, wow. Neat. Let's go.
Isn't that cool?
Hell yeah.
I think we actually may have, in considering the Arctic temperatures, look at that. I think we're going to have a white Christmas for the first time in forever.
Mitch has the traffic cam up on the screen. We got some snow coming down outside. Oh, this is the best. Love this. White Christmases are the best. Like, it just feels cozy, especially when it's not like a blizzard. It's just a nice flurry, light flurry, maybe like 2-3 inches, nothing too crazy. Oh, mm-hmm. It's so cozy. I can't wait.
Hey, speaking of Christmas, did you go to Courtney's party?
I did not. No,
you didn't. You couldn't go?
No. I had to do a couple things pre-Christmas Eve. And so I was actually almost late getting to the Bruins game last night, and so I was unable to
attend. I did not dare go and be, you know, patient X and get people at her party sick.
It looked like they were having fun.
Was it a homestead party or an out at...
It was at her home.
Yeah, it was at her home. She has a Christmas Eve party every year. It looked like what they were doing one of my favorite party things, Fitzy. I don't know if you're familiar with the haircut.
Oh, a key party?
No. No, not a key party. A haircut, which is when...
7 minutes in heaven. Oh, the haircut where you sit in the chair and you get like whipped cream and a shot?
More or less. So it's you sit in a chair or you get on a knee and it's Dr. McGillicuddy's straight into the mouth and chocolate syrup. And they fill you up real nice. And then you shake it all up and you swallow and it's delicious. It's delightful. It's the only time in my life I ever enjoy mint and chocolate together. Otherwise, I think it's disgusting. Give it to
you
me.
Don't
just
like
send it right down my gullet. Yep, exactly.
You don't like mint and chocolate together?
No, I think it's a hot take. It's the worst combination.
Peppermint bark
on the
is incredible.
No, it's not. It's terrible.
It's outstanding. So wait a second. So my wife wanted to do something different. So we did a spouse swap. She got a bottle for
wife
Christmas
swap?
Day of the chocolate peppermint espresso martini bottle stuff. Like it's, you know, I'm not in on the espresso martini like everybody else is. But she did a little sampler at the local Packy and came back home. She's like, this was delicious. We're going to have these on Christmas Day. Like, you know what? Maybe with a little crema on top with a little broken up peppermint bark. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm out on most peppermint things generally. Like mint chip ice cream, send it to the moon. I don't want it. I don't want to touch it.
Send it to my mouth.
No way.
That drop is going to be back in my face in a
yes,
minute.
It is.
I'm going to use that against you.
Those Andes mint chocolates, nope, send them to the sun.
Are you kidding? Shine.
Fire them into the sun.
Every year, whenever
peppermint patties, take them.
Oh, my God, please.
Shove them in the mouth of Vesuvius.
I want the lower depths of my Viking ship to Valhalla filled with them.
No, I'm so out.
Like every Christmas, whenever those little like round peppermints that are like soft, you pop them in your mouth and they just kind of like melt in there as opposed to like candy canes, which are just a sticky hard mess.
Yeah, they are a mess.
Oh,
So here's the thing. I like a mint every once in a while. Like those little like circle peppermints that are like white with the red lines on them. Like I can
They've been sitting in that tray at your grandmother's house by the door for 9 years.
Yeah, in a little plastic bag. Like, I could pop one of those in, and that's fine. But when you put mint with chocolate, I want you to fire it directly into the sun.
Oh, it's so good.
I can't do it. And I love chocolate. Like, this is somebody who is a chocoholic till the day I die. I would fire that into the sun. I want nothing
like
to do with
it. You like the two of them respective of each other, but they just can't party in the same sack.
Correct. That's exactly
wow.
it. Yep. It's how I live my life. Ryan in Manchester wants to accost me on the Travis Hunter take. Go ahead, Ryan.
Man, this is a lot of ammo today. 7 minutes in heaven and the wife swap references in the same paragraph is really kind of throwing me off with the candy talk. I just gone right down the tubes, man.
Fair enough.
But listen, a couple things. Travis Hunter, man, if you please just tell me, Shime, you're not in the camp of trading down and clogging holes that the incompetence of this franchise has created and not take the potential Hall of Fame player. If it's one thing, if you don't think and you disagree with all the other scouts that he's a consensus number one best prospect in this draft, you get it too. It's another if you think that you're going to trade down as you need 18 positions to be filled is a terrible way to run this franchise. And to go about the wishing things, I'll wish the coach. I was thinking about this the other day. I want your thought on this. I was really against Belichick surrounding himself with his inner circle, especially bringing his kids in here. But now I see the story unfolding, and I realize that the mutiny that this ownership created by not having a coaching search and having the Aaron Perry, and you hear the reports of Mayo walking around the building telling people this. I don't blame him for insulating himself with his people. And think about trying to just protect yourself at that point instead of what's best for the franchise. That the infighting between the ownership and Belichick and his staff, I guess, is really what's got us here. And if they don't move on from Mayo, which they won't, because I will be admitting that they made a mistake, and they can't let him. This is the other thing. One other thing, John. Brady leaving and winning a Super Bowl, first of all, sacrilege to ever let that guy walk out the door for anything other than he said he's not coming back. They can't let Belichick do the same thing. So don't tell me he wasn't on the phone with all the other owners in this league saying Belichick cannot take another job here and win a Super Bowl. If the look for the crafts would have been unescapable. So they blackballed him, sabotaged him. UNC, the best coach of all time, can't get a job. The ownership, like Parcells said, was a meddling, let me shop for the groceries, cook the dinner type stuff. It's awful, man. They got money to spend. You draft the best player available. And Merry Christmas, boys. I love you.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Thanks so much for the call.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
So here's what I would say. I don't think Travis Hunter is the best player available. I don't believe it. I watch him at Colorado. Again, I stipulate this because he played at Colorado. If he did this at Georgia or Alabama or LSU or something like that, I would maybe buy into it a little bit more, but I don't think he's the best prospect on his own football team. Like, to me, Shedeur Sanders is a much better prospect than Travis Hunter in the NFL.
As a starting cornerback, he had 92 receptions for 1,152 yards and 14 touchdowns. What a stiff.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's a stiff, but like, again, Fitzy, he did it at Colorado. A lot of it was stat padding for Dion. Like, I mean, they were force feeding him the ball with 2 minutes left in a game. They were up like 40. Like, I mean, come on. It's
then who is the best receiver in this draft?
Tet McMillan. I don't even think it's close. He's the best receiver in the draft.
Here's the problem, Shime. The Patriots cannot afford to do anything but take the safest stud prospect. Like, they need the almost like the lowest, like a high floor blue chip, because they cannot blow this pick.
Yeah, I agree. Like
if you think it's Kelvin Banks or if it's Will Campbell, even if there may be better receivers and you know you need a dynamic wide receiver one, I'd rather they overpay for a fleet of receivers and free agency, test them out and see who works.
Because at least with receiver, like, you can pay for known commodities. And I think they should do that. Whereas the offensive line market this year, I think, stinks. I think the pick for the Patriots should probably be Kelvin Banks. I need to do more tape grinding on the offensive lineman. I haven't done a ton.
Someone just mentioned him in our socials, Shime, at AeroDude73. 6'4", 320. He'll only be 21 come draft day. Are you guys?
Some of the other longer tackles and really kind of get in on the tape a little bit. But, like, look, I understand. My Travis Hunter opinion is not popular. I do a show every Sunday with Arcand, who's the biggest Colorado fan I know. I understand. I'm well aware. But at the same time, I have never been afraid of going out on a limb when it comes to draft picks. I have had some success. I've had some misses, right? Like, that's what's going to happen, because this is not an exact science. For me, Travis Hunter could be a really good cornerback, but I don't think he's an NFL wide receiver. I just don't. At most, he's like an NFL 2, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a good corner, but I don't think he's like a Hall of Fame.
You don't draft him to be wide receiver 1. No.
No, you don't. And that's the thing. The Patriots don't need a corner. Like, Christian Gonzalez is great. Jonathan Jones is pretty good. He's not going anywhere. Like, you have so many other needs. I would rather take a blue chip player at receiver in, like, Tet McMillan, or take a blue chip player at tackle.
I don't think he's a guaranteed re-sign.
Yeah,
he's played really well. Like, he
played
excellent
great
against
this year.
Shakir Sunday.
Yeah, he was awesome. And I think he'll be back next year. Marcus Jones should hopefully get healthy. He should be better for next year as well. I think you have so many more needs than cornerback right now, especially because you have your number one corner. You have him. And again, right. corners are much more available on the free agent market than offensive linemen and stuff. To me, like trading from 2 to 6 and taking best available offensive lineman, blue chip offensive lineman, is slam dunk. Slam dunk.
All right, let me just, because I know we're, as they like to say in the biz, we're up against it. But
sure.
My wish, my Christmas wish for the New England Patriots over their final two games, let me see if Cole Strange can play center, and let me see if Caden Wallace can go out to right tackle and hold his ground. If they can even play serviceably, let alone at a starter caliber level over the final two games in the face of a couple of really good pass rushes from teams that are trying to make the playoffs, that may address or speak to some of your significant offseason needs, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that may be true. I don't need to see Cole Strange at center. I don't. I've seen enough from Ben Brown. Like, I will bring Ben Brown back next year. He's had...
You would?
He's had like one bad game. He's been the best offensive lineman by far, and you picked him up off a practice squad this year. Like, he's been good.
He can play swing guard and backup center for me, but I can't... David Andrews is a great ball player, but he's been injured so much. I don't know if he's going to be able to come back and play at the level that he used to play at a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't need David Andrews should retire. I agree, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Ben Brown, I think has been good. I think he's been I don't want to say really good, but he has been the best of what you have, without a doubt. And to me, he's been good enough to be an NFL starting center. Unfortunately, you know, guys like Joe Tooney just don't grow on trees. And it's a shame you don't have a guy like that in the building anymore, huh?
Like Mankins playing left tackle instead of left guard when the team needs. Oh, man.
All right. 617-779-7937. You want to weigh in on the Pats? You want to rip me for my Travis Hunter take? You want to talk about bar pizza? Whatever you want to do, everything's available here on a Christmas Eve with Fitzy and Shine filling in for the Greg Hill Show. We'll be right back.